The Office of Management and Budget tells agencies they have 30 days to secure their networks. It appears that that's a reaction to the second major cyber breach at the Office of Personnel Management, that second breach putting military and intelligence security clearance holders at risk. You can read the details about the second breach on our homepage at federalnewsradio.com right now. Dave McClure is chief strategist at the Verisk Group, former associate administrator in the Office of Citizen Services and Innovative Technologies at the General Services Administration, writing about a few ground rules that you should be thinking about for better cybersecurity. Dave, why did you think it was a good time or necessary now to write about these ground rules? I see in each of these things that you've been talking about for a long time. Thanks for being on, my friend.
Absolutely. A pleasure. Well, you know, the reason why I think we need to focus on ground rules is just the stark reality of the cyber threats that we face. I think the spectrum of vulnerability in the security world ranges from very low to very high. So you can't focus on just one dimension, high predictive analytics and tools, and forget about very basic data segmentation, very basic things that you need to be doing to address security. So my message is, in that article, is quite honestly, you know, focus on acquiring new technologies that certainly help empower your abilities in the cyber detection space, but don't forget about punt, pass, and kick. In fact, most of the work that we do shows that a lot of the vulnerabilities that exist are tied to common basic security practices not being followed.
Jason Miller was in here reporting on the OPM breach yesterday, and all that coverage is at federalnewsradio.com. And he mentioned, I don't remember if it was on the air or off the air, and I apologize for not being able to give proper credit to the person that suggested it, but he said that one of his cyber experts had told him recently, 80% of your threat vulnerability goes away if you just do the very basic cyber hygiene stuff.
Yeah, a good percentage. I don't know what the actual percent is. It's actually going to vary
Sure. Organization
to organization. But again, most of the work that we certainly do and find, a large percentage of it is tied to just basic core fundamental security practices, patch management, looking at your way in which your networks architected it with a vulnerability approach. Very simple things, not necessarily always simple, but very basic things that any security program should be paying attention to. And I just think it reflects the fact that the nature of the threats coming at organizations is so widespread across that spectrum that when you change your attention to one and take your eyes off the other, you've again just created a new vulnerability.
I'm reminded of the guy who used to be on the Ed Sullivan Show, I'm dating myself now, who would come out with the spinning plates on the pole, and he would have like eight poles going all at the same time. It's what I picture that in my mind when you talk like that.
Yeah, it is, and it's why it's a daunting task, and it's one that's frustrating and certainly must be frustrating to everyone. We continue to hear daily about breaches occurring. You know, there's some staggering statistics. There's it's supposedly over 120,000 data breaches that occur every day across the world, across the globe, from very simple to very sophisticated. So, again, when you see those kind of statistics, you realize how daunting the task is to make sure that you've got yourself protected in an adequate way.
Dave McClure, the Verisk Group's writing about ground rules for improving federal cybersecurity and FCW, and we have a link to that piece at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. And you've kept it simple so that somebody like me can follow along, Dave. I appreciate that, as always.
As always.
The first one that you write about of the three is that data governance needs critical attention. What kind of attention, Dave?
Well, you know, there was I think either Jason or someone was interviewing the OPM director, maybe it was at the hearing, in which she was pointing to old legacy systems being a culprit for a lot of the security vulnerabilities. I would argue that the data management practices in our government are just about as old as our legacy systems. It's not something that receives a whole lot of attention, yet it is literally a lifeline for doing really good security. You have to really understand, what kind of data is needed where, what are the proper access and privileges that are granted to data, and do it in such a way that you really segment your data according to its use. Again, a lot of times you see accounts being breached because once they find a master password or account holder, they've got everything. And while this is very critical in that it might slow down some of the performance for our business processes, it's still, in today's world, I think, very critical that we understand low-risk, high-risk, medium-risk data and protect it in ways that that force us to categorize and contain it in terms of usage and access.
You also write about categorizing data in a way that I haven't heard before, or heard much of before, at least. You write, agencies must categorize data into master, shared, and single-use bins. I think that's a pretty interesting way of looking at segmenting what you've got.
Yeah, it's a way in which you can think through the kinds of access that's needed. And often this is, again, the result of not paying attention to data architecture. There's a data explosion that's occurred in the last decade, both structured and unstructured data, and yet we're not keeping our pulse on who needs it where, when, and how can you make sure that the proper use of the information is following its axis. So categorizing data into those kinds of buckets and appropriately protecting it with the right kinds of controls rather than all controls being applied equally to all data is a cost-saving perspective to that, and then there's a better protection angle as well.
That kind of ties in with the second ground rule that you write about in this piece, Dave. We must focus on data and security architecture and engineering designs that make it difficult to get access to key assets and limit damage when cyber breaches are successful. It sounds to me like what you're getting at here is the idea of having the important stuff in your house in a safe so that if somebody does break in, they still have one more layer of security they have to go through to get at the really important stuff.
It absolutely is about layers and understanding that. I think it's safe to assume in today's world it's an impossible task to try to keep intrusions and hacks from taking place. So we have to move to a mental model where you accept that some of that's going to occur, but that when it does occur, you've segmented your networks, you've segmented your data, you've created security zones that make it very difficult for the actor to navigate and to compile and to actually take advantage of the access they've been given. I think this is probably one of the most critical directions that we need to take in security is focusing on architecture and engineering designs for our networks and for our data.
The third ground rule you write about is that agencies should incorporate a current compromise assessment approach into core security measures. What's that approach mean? What do you mean by that, Dave?
Well, you know, Francis, we have very motivated threat actors, both in number and sophistication. And the best way to think about these threat actors in today's world is they are our modern-day bank robbers. They are the ones going after the goods. So a current compromise approach, you're trying to emulate what a threat actor would be trying to do to get at your critical assets, without knowing perhaps where they are, what they are, or how you think that the organization itself may think somebody would come after them. You totally assume or emulate the presence of a threat actor behavior, and you see what you can get to, navigate, compile, use, penetrate, and take advantage of. It's a current compromise or a hunting approach, and I think you're going to see that probably gaining some popularity. One of the steps that Tony Scott was told agencies to take is to take the indicators of compromise put out by the Department of Homeland Security and the CERT, U.S. CERT. That's great. It's not enough because, again, those are things that are already known, and a current compromise approach is trying to actually navigate through your system without perhaps anyone ever trying it that way before.
Where do you find the resources or brain power or knowledge base to be able to know what you don't know? Because it sounds like that's what you're getting at, Dave. You have to figure out what you don't know.
Yeah, it's a special group of people. It is definitely the high-end training and certification in our security staffing. But certainly people have the background and the expertise to be able to do this, learn how to do it, and it's a continuous learning process. So you bring up a good point. You don't grow these people on a vine that goes for miles and miles. You have to carefully select them. And again, it's a constant learning environment they have to be put in without boundaries that kind of zone them off and keep them segmented from the rest of the security world. Big challenge, but one in which, again, if we're going to hire the right kinds of security staff, these are the kinds of discussions that we need to have.
We just have a minute or so left. You write in this piece in FCW, Dave, often a reverse inside-out approach is deployed. Administrators say, here are my critical assets. Let's try to discover all the ways an outsider could get to them and then plug the dike. And you write that there are other ways more useful. Why is that way not the most useful way to approach it?
Well, again, you're assuming it's an inside-out view, so you basically are huddling your wagon saying, what are my critical assets? Where are the real keys to the kingdom here? And then let's investigate all the different ways in which somebody could get at them. The problem with that is that you're constraining yourself to your own knowledge and understanding of compromise, as opposed to leaving it to people who really don't share how they do this and invent it on a daily basis. So it's really worthwhile to think out of the box from the outside in rather than the inside out.